So we're in Lamentations, and we're talking about God's people. And when we're talking about the ones that had everything that God could give them, but yet they let things creep into their life. They let little things. They let people that they should have killed when God told them to, and God told them to destroy all stuff. They kept some of them. They saw beautiful women. They kept them. Beautiful children. They kept them. They kept gold and silver and things that belonged to these paganistic people. When God told them, kill these people, get rid of all this stuff, they didn't listen. So slowly but surely, things started to creep in. You started coming, homosexuality started to become legal. Slowly, as long as they stay over in the corner, we won't bother them. That kind of thing. You know, we started to have, they started to get to the children and telling children that, oh, it's alright to do this, it's alright to do that, and they started to they started through the, what we would call the schools, what the centers of learning, they started through those. Then they started telling people, well, you don't have to eat just that stuff. This stuff is clean, too. You can have this over here. Slowly but surely, they infiltrated and changed God's laws. Now, these people still worship God as probably, as far as we can tell, the ultimate God. They had him up there. He's the God of all gods. But they had been told he's the only God. And they had lived that way for so long. But as things start to creep in and little things start to change, and life gets a little bit easier, and I can do this for you, and life is easier, and you don't have to quite exactly, you know, those rules were written hundreds of years ago. You really don't have to follow them exactly. That's still God. But I can help you grow your crops. We'll do it this way. Oh, and I can help you harvest your crops, and we'll just, they don't say it, but they're insinuating they're going to leave that God over the side just a little bit. That's the ultimate. We don't pray to him. He's the ultimate God. We're going to keep the ceremonies, that kind of thing. But there's other people. There's other things that are creeping in here. They're changing our lives one thing at a time. We're teaching our children different. We're allowing things to creep in. Well, you know, we were all honest at one time, but, you know, it won't hurt to bend it just a little bit. And then you bend it a little bit more. A little bit more. You know, God had given him the temple, at the temple's dedication, God himself told the builder, King Solomon, he said, listen, I have this temple set apart to be holy. This place you have built where my name will be honored forever, I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. 1 Kings 9:3. God said that. But then the people started to change and not honor him like he had asked them to. They didn't follow him like he asked them to. They weren't as thankful for the things that he gave them. They started giving credit to other gods and other little things. You can call it whatever you want. Back then they had little gods. They had people come in, foreigners come in, and they were letting them infiltrate the religion. And back then, I hate that word religion, but that was their life. Their belief in God. And so these people started to take it apart. I know this sounds so familiar, but let me tell you what happened. When God let people come in and overrun them and take them all, they started crying. And the guy that wrote this said, Jerusalem has sinned greatly. She's been tossed away like a filthy rag. If God's doing the tossing, the Lord in his anger has cast a dark shadow over our beautiful Jerusalem. In his day of great anger, the Lord has shown no mercy even to his temple. Today the temple is us. Back then it was a stone building. Today it's us. It's more beautiful than it was back then. But even back then, his temple, who he had sworn in 1 Kings to always be there, dear to my heart, they had made God so mad. They had hurt his feelings so bad, they had turned, they still had God. And they still had the ceremony. They still went to church. They still give it lip service. They said, we still believe in that God, but I don't have as much time for him as I used to. It won't hurt if I miss this service. It won't hurt. Maybe I'll miss this celebration. We'll make the one big one, Passover, but the other ones we can't get to. We're too busy. Oh, by the way, somebody's helping me when I'm there. They tell me if I miss the service, they'll be here to help me do this. Somebody that doesn't follow the same God. They hurt his feelings. They made him mad. For many Jews, the temple was their secret weapon. It's our weapon today. The source of their invincibility, it's our invincibility today, is the body. It was God's home on earth. Guess what it is today? It's our body. They couldn't imagine God allowing invaders to violate it, not but let alone destroy it, but they did. Let me tell you what happens when you turn your back on God, when you stick him over there in a corner. This is what can happen. This is what did happen. So he asked God, if you couldn't say, should mothers eat their own children, those that once bounced on their knees? Let me tell you something. In 2 Kings 6:28 and 29, if you think I'm lying, open your Bible. These are books that most of y'all people never read because there's too much in them. It says, children eventually made it onto the menu. In Samaria, the besieged capital of the northern Jewish nation of Israel, one mother went to the king and complained about another woman. This is what she said. Now, what happened when this was going on at this point, before I read that gory situation, they were besieged. The best way to capture people or a city or something is surround it. Cut off its water and its outside food supplies. Cut off its supplies from outside. Whatever it is they need, cut it off. You don't have to lose one person in a battle. All you got to do is make them lose. So you block their outside food sources. You block their outside supplies. You block their water. Whatever water they got in there, let them have it. It's going to run out. And terms are going to get horrendous. I just heard today that's happening in Iran right now. We don't have to go there to fight a battle to win that war. We only have to lay siege. We have to blockade them like we've done. And they're starting to publicly say they're ready to talk. Because what we're doing is hurting them pretty bad. It's happening today. This was happening then when this happened. It got so very bad, after 2.5 years of no food, no water, no outside supply, this is what happened. A lady went to the king and complained about another woman. She says, this woman said to me, come on, let's eat your son today, then we'll eat my son tomorrow. They ate her son, so we cooked my son and we ate him. The next day I said to her, kill your son so we can eat him, but she's hitting her son. Bodies laid in the street and lamentations. It said, see them lying in the street, young and old boys and girls, killed by the swords of the enemy. The enemy has killed all the children whom I've cared for. It goes on to say that priests were killed in the temple, that bodies were piled up in the streets. See them lying in the streets, young and old. You've killed them in your anger. This is what happens. This did happen. Now, I want to tell you, God never walks away from us. The Bible didn't say he walked away from these people. But he allowed them, he took them one small part at a time, trying to get them to stay true to him, trying to get them to listen. And slowly, he had to let it get worse and worse. It got this point before they got their act together. He later let them come back. Now, you said, why are you telling me this? Let me explain this something to you. In 1963, our government was told that there was a Marxist, which is a communist takeover of our country starting. The first thing they do is they penetrate the schools. Then they start using the students to rebel and protest. And they start penetrating our religious views, our belief in our God. Then they start with homosexuality, sexual perversion, grand theft, all these things. I heard a man say yesterday, I saw it on the news today, now I'm not being political or a party, it doesn't matter, a particular party did this. He just bragged, thank you, Democrats, for changing the law in New York. I can be a criminal all I want. I do not have to pay bail, and you cannot hold me in jail as long as I'm not violent, as long as I don't use a weapon. I can do whatever I want to do now. Sounds like what happened back then. Remember, that temple that God turned his back on was a building. That was their center. That was the center of their universe. That was where God dwelt. Today, he doesn't do it in a building. He does it in you and me. He's in our hearts. Today, he dwells in our hearts. That's our temple to God. Remember, we've had all those lessons that we're to protect that temple to God. We're to treat it like the holy place that it is for our Lord and Savior. But let me tell you what's happening. Not only was that criminal bragging, Governor Cuomo in New York signed legislation legalizing infanticide, where babies all the way up to the time of birth can be slaughtered. As they're being born, they are cut in pieces and killed. It's legal. What do you think was happening back then? Hollywood stars are telling our girls to shout about their abortions, brag about killing your own children. Wait a minute. Vietnam, they were having babies to throw them under our trucks so they could get paid for it. We talk about that. We talk about things in the past. This is happening now. A proposed law in Delaware would allow children to change their gender from whatever they are to the other without telling their parents, because some parents would not be supportive of a gender change. Welcome to Jerusalem. Welcome to that country I told you about a few minutes ago. It horrified God so bad that he turned his back for a short period of time. He didn't abandon them. He didn't leave. He wanted their attention. You tell me it was so bad back then that there was no food, there was no water, no supplies. They even ate each other, including their children. People, you ain't far from that now. Because right now, we're making it legal to murder babies even up to the time they're born. In Ohio, a daughter was stripped from her parents by the state of Ohio because her parents did not approve of a non-FDA-approved drug help the girl go through a sex change. We are the temple of God. God gave us this country. I don't know about you, but I read history. And in history, other than the country of Rome, at its earliest days, we have been the most blessed country, and Israel itself, we have been the most blessed modern country there is. That's why everybody wants to come here. It's not just for a dollar bill. It's for opportunity. People went to Rome for the same reason. They had opportunity. It would be hard, but it was better than where they were. And they would do whatever it took to get there. Rome didn't fall from without. It fell from within by allowing these same changes to happen. Israel did not fall from without. Nobody attacked it and destroyed it without its own help. Israel turned their country into a den of iniquity, to a sinful place instead of a godly place that God had created. They went against God, they moved him over to his side, they went against God and said, we know better. Welcome to America. We know better. We know better than God. Look here, we're just going to sit back in a corner and I'm going to be a good Christian. I'm not going to tell nobody. I'm going to be a good Christian. I didn't say judge anybody, didn't say that at all. The Bible doesn't say that. In fact, it says don't judge them. But it does say tell them. And we can tell them by the way we act, by what we say, by how we present ourselves. If you're buried up in a hole, you're wrong. That's what drove down Israel. When all these things started to happen, the people that did believe and did hold God in the right space sat in a corner. And they let it happen. God says, I want you to be my army. I want you to be my representative on earth. I want people to see me through. You are my temple. Your body is where I dwell. Your body is where I live at. I don't need a building. That was in the old times. Those people still say, I heard them a couple of days ago, we're going to rebuild that temple and God's going to come and live in it. Well, that may be true. But God doesn't need it right now, or he'd be there. God needs us as his children to stop this from happening. Remember, Israel was told You can stop it from happening. But they chose not to as a group. They chose to sit on their backsides and do nothing. We've had lessons in here. Tell the people around you. They will tell somebody else. Tell the people around you who your Lord and Savior is. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them about His Father. These are people you like to talk to. You talk to on a daily basis. Tell them. Believe me, they will tell somebody. Even if they tell somebody that you told them, the word will spread. But as long as we don't tell anybody, the word's not going to go anywhere. Y'all all call me all the time, and I try to be that one that you can look up. I try to be that one to show you how to do it. Each one of you does it differently. Each one of you sees things differently. Right now, you need to all see it the same. They were eating their own children to survive. Bodies laid in the street. I'm telling you, before that army came in and destroyed them, those bodies were, read the rest of the book, those bodies were piling up already. People were starving to death, and when people get to that point, they kill each other to survive. They get this thing in their mind, if I kill you off, you're not going to compete for what food we have, so I'm going to get rid of you. Rats don't stay together. They kill each other. That's what happens. And if you think we can't come to that point, you're seriously wrong right now. You better pray God calls you home before it happens, because it's coming. And I ain't talking about the end of time. This has nothing to do with the end of time. Not one blasted thing, nothing. I haven't mentioned that until now. This can happen long before the end days that everybody's so afraid of. You're so afraid of those days that you cause them to happen now. And over and over and over. That's what Israel has done to itself time after time after time. But there is hope. If we come back to God, if we do what God asks us to do, we won't be in that position. But if we just sit on our haunches, we will be. This is why every one of you is asked every day to talk to somebody. Even if you've already talked to them again. They're going to tell somebody else. They're going to spread something. You wouldn't believe the phone calls that I get on my phone. People, I have no idea who they are. But Pastor Bob, I heard you here. I heard that. I heard that lesson. That lesson mattered to me. I don't even know they're listening. I don't even know one of you talked to them. But some of you are. Because they pick up a phone and call me. Somehow they find where I'm at. And they bring it up. It's happening. We got to keep doing this, because the more we do it, the more people are reached, the better it's going to be. We have to stand up. You can stand up in this wonderful country, this republic. It's not a democracy. It's a republic. It's completely different. You can stand up and tell your local politician, we don't want this stuff to happen. And if they don't listen, get rid of them. We have that power. They did not have that power in some of these countries. Sad part is, in the great country of Rome that lasted so many hundreds of years, and at one point it was a great country of its own making, and what it did, and in its own era, it was great, and it was powerful, and it was a good place to live for most people, but it started to change because they also let things creep in. One thing after another creeped in, and slowly but surely, the disgusting things took over. Now, they were pagan. Don't get me wrong. But you could make a good living in that country, and you could worship the way you wanted to. You weren't forced, for the most part. You were not forced to be pagan. They even tolerated Christians for a long time. And actually, a leader in Rome actually is the one that caused a change in our church. I just finished a massive study on this fellow. You can say what you want about him, but because of him, we have an organized Bible, because God used him and others around him, and the insistence that we get one thing together organized so everybody can be on the same sheet of music. Wait a minute, that's what it says in 1 Corinthians. We need to be on the same sheet of music. You see, we get that thing. God's out there. He's out there somewhere. We worship God. We go to church and we pay our dues. Here we are. I'm here. But then we put him to the side all week. We forget to talk to him. We change our ways. Don't say you haven't done it. You forget to talk to him during the week. But you see, he's always there. He doesn't leave us. He may get so disgusted with us that he allows us to get in a bad way. But he's there if we reach out. I was reading over in Hosea, and I've heard so many stories about Hosea and his prophet, and he was a prophet. And God always talked to Israel and to people in the world in symbolic ways. I mean, there were some of the prophets that put on skits and different things, you might call it, and they acted things out, and the other ones told things, and things happened. Hosea, his life was the skit. His life was the example. But I've heard so many things. Why would God make a prophet marry a prostitute? Well, when you read that short little book in the Bible, he had Hosea marry a prostitute. And she ran away at one point, but she gave him 3 children. And then God said she would provide children through prostitution. We don't know if they were Hosea's kids or somebody else. She was a prostitute. We don't know if she was a temple prostitute. We don't know if she walked the streets. We don't know if it was just known that she was kind of a loose woman and enjoyed having sex with a lot of people. We don't know. It says she's a prostitute. But God had a purpose for Hosea marrying her. It was an example to his people. See, God loves you no matter what you do. He may not like what you do, but he loves you. And she ran away from Hosea one time. And God told him, go buy her back. And he bought her back for today's money, about $120. So it wasn't a whole lot of money. Okay. But he bought her back. And it was an example to the Israeli people, to what we call the Israelis, the Jews, whatever you want to call them, the Hebrews, whatever. All same people. But Hosea's life became, his life was the example. God loves you. He will take you in no matter what you've done. You are his child. Even if you run away, he would rather bring you back. He would rather save you than to lose you. That's why I told Hosea, go get her. Bring her back. Whatever you do, pay the price. God pays the price every day for us when we run away. God cries when we turn our back on him. But he's not beyond giving us examples, trying to get our attention. See, with the Israeli people, before it got so bad they were eating their own by their own family, he had taken them one little bit at a time, and each time was a little bit stronger. I'm telling you right now, he's talked to this country. We are right now coming out of a depression, the first one since the 1930s, a real depression. I don't care what they want to call it. People don't have any money. People didn't have money. People could not get a job that paid that would feed their families. People were jumping off of houses and taking their families with them. People killing their families. Their families didn't have enough food. You tell me what it is. It's a depression. And we got really, really bad. And we're still bad. People are still killing folks. People are still doing stupid stuff. Just had a 17-year-old kill his mother and little brother, tried to kill his dad, but dad miraculously survived to tell the story. Why is it happening? Because good people do nothing. Good people sit on their haunches, don't talk about Christ. They don't talk about God. They just talk to God, say, I'm here, God, I'm right here. See, God wants you to do something. Write a letter to somebody. Pray for them and tell them you're praying for them. Wish them a blessed day. Seriously, wish them a blessed day from your heart. In such a way that they hear it in your voice. That's all you got to do. You got to tell people. Valentine's Day, I was at Winn-Dixie, one of the grocery stores down here, for y'all that don't know what Winn-Dixie is. I was down here at the store. There they all dressed in red. They were like a red t-shirt they wear to show their Winn-Dixie employees. I was there, and I was in line. And I got a little thing for Deb, and I was buying some groceries. And I noticed that people were going through all the lines. They were in a hurry. They were getting Valentine's things for their loved ones or whoever, trying to get on the good side, whatever you call all that doing. But they were ignoring the people that worked there. Girls and boys, women and men. I wished him a happy Valentine's Day. I did that in the back at the counter, at the meat counter, produce counter, whatever, and I did it there. I did it in line. And I made the comment, nobody's paying attention to these employees that are working on Valentine's Day so you can get all that stuff for your loved one, take it home. Maybe try to get on their good side for one day a year. I wish them a happy Valentine's Day from my heart. And I wish them a blessed day. And they could hear it in my voice. That's all it takes. People behind me started doing the same thing. Nobody thought about it. They were thinking about themselves. Guess what happened in Israel? They were thinking about themselves. Even unto the day that they were killing and eating each other to survive, they were thinking about themselves. Oh, wait a minute. That's what was happening in that store that night. That's what's happening all over America today. I can't do it. No. I'm going to take care of me. I got news for you. Everything I read in the Bible says God wants you to help take care of other people. And I ask you a question today. What is the one thing, two questions. What is the one thing that people, one rule God put that everybody's taken with a glad heart? That was to recreate, to procreate, to have babies. They do that with a glad heart. That's one rule they followed. But what's the one rule God said all through the Bible? He said, take care of the less fortunate. And to me, the less fortunate is whenever I see people ignored, like in that store. They are working their tails off, smiles on their faces, hoping to get off in time to see their loved ones. But they're giving you all they can, and nobody thinks about it. How about taking care of the needy and the less fortunate? When you're walking down the street, when you're riding down the street, you see somebody with a head down. What's wrong with saying hello? Help them have a good day. What's wrong with it if we don't do it? When you see one of your friends having a sad day and they're asking for prayer, I'll pray for you. Don't doubt out about it. But first, I'm going to pray for you to have a better day. Whatever that takes. And I'll tell you that. I want to tell you, God loves us. And each one of us is just as special as the other one. There is no difference. We all bleed the same. We said in war. And that's so true. Seen that happen. But I've seen people as desperate as those people in that Bible. I've seen them. I've seen what they do. And I've seen what makes them that way. They sit on the backside and let these things creep in the country. That's what happened in Vietnam. That's what's happened in a lot of countries. They sit still and let people change things without standing up for what they say they believe in. What they tell themselves, I believe in. They just get lazy. And don't let other people. Let me tell you. The Bible I read says, stand up for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Stand up for God. It says, tell people. I enjoy telling people about God because Christ enjoyed it. I enjoy telling about it, even on the smallest scale. Whatever word I can use. But people, if you don't want to get in that situation, you pay attention to what's happening right now. It's happening in this country. The Marxist takeover, socialist or communist takeover, starts with disarming its citizens. And then it starts penetrating your schools. And it starts using your students against you. And it goes on from there. And there's 70 things that they have as a guide to take over a country. And right now, we're about number 50. Israel made it past 50. The same kind of thing happened to them. If you don't believe it can happen, sit on your backside and watch what happens. But the good news is, God is there, just like he did that prostitute. God will buy you back. And he will save us, and he will save this country. He doesn't want it to go that way. He wants it to go the right way. He wants it to go to his kingdom, but it's up to us. It doesn't have to happen, but it very well can. bow your heads. Thank you, Lord, for the examples, and thanks for keeping us straight, Lord, and being with us, and thanks for having faith in us. And thanks for keeping us on the right line, and pray, Lord, that we all stand up for you like we need to, and that we keep you center, not as part of some pantheon of gods, and we keep you the God, because we know you're the only living God. Lord, thank you for your son coming here. Thanks for everything he went through for us, and he's still going through, because I know that both of you anguish when we turn our backs on you. But I'm so happy, Lord, to say that I'm not perfect, but I have a perfect God. Help all these people as they go out in the world today and this week, Lord, and help them to witness to other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.